All right, good morning. We're going to start things just a little bit different today. I understand that we have somebody in here that turns 50 today. Now, if you're not sure who it is, we've got some pictures to help you out on this. Let's see. There we go. Ah. Here we go. Yeah. All right. I'm going to tell you. So, Brother John or Pastor John, you get to stand up right now. All right. But I'm going to tell you, after seeing your picture with that motorcycle, you do not get to borrow my Harley. No way. There is absolutely no way. Oh, no, you're not through. No. You like to make other people stand, so now it's your turn. All right. Would all of you help me in wishing him happy birthday? Let's sing happy birthday to Brother John. At this time, we have a video on Mary Hill Davis.
In Matthew 5, it says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Salt of the earth, light of the world, God calls and we must answer." From the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus encouraged and challenged his followers to preserve truth and goodness in a fallen world. To be the salt of the earth is to exhibit a foundation of strength and willingness to help others, to have a positive impact on our communities, sharing hope and showing the love of Christ in a time where the needs are great, but we know our God is greater. We are witnessing the need for more churches, and God is working through the Texas Baptist Church Starting Ministry to identify communities and equip those answering the call. Your support of the Cowboy Church and the Western Heritage Arena Outreach enables congregations to uniquely meet their community right at their point of need. God is not only working through you to financially support ministries across Texas, but many of you, including your students, are serving with these ministries to be the salt and the light. Camp Fusion is focused on the leadership development of our intercultural youth as they are encouraged and equipped for service in their cultural context. Through the annual gathering, students experience spiritual growth and discover a deeper dependence on Christ. Similar outcomes develop after students spend time at the WAVE experience for African American youth and the Hispanic Soccer Outreach Ministry. Our prayer is that through ministries like these, along with campus outreach and evangelism, we are pouring into the next generation of Christian men and women called to our local churches and communities. Thank you for giving to the Mary Hill Davis Offering for Texas Missions. God is moving in new and exciting ways across our state, and we are grateful that you have joined WMU of Texas on this journey. Because together, we are Texas Missions.
Good morning. Yeah, y'all look familiar. Y'all look familiar. It's good to be back. We have several things going on, some announcements that we need to take care of this morning. Today does begin, as you noted, the Mel Davis week of giving to the Texas Missions Offering. And I will say there's a prayer guide in your worship bulletin. If you picked one up, you have a prayer guide to kind of take you through the week to see areas where you can pray and also learn about where monies that are given to this offering will go and support in Texas. And it's probably more in depth than what you'll find in the prayer guide, but it will help to give you a little bit of an idea how to pray through this week as well. And I would ask you, pray about what you're going to give. The Lord has blessed us over the last couple of years to be a very giving towards these offerings. We have three main offerings a year, and this Texas Missions offering is one of those. And there's a display out in the foyer that Miss Charlotte and her group have set up, and we encourage you to visit that setting there and take some time and give a little attention to this offering this week. We have church conference next Sunday evening at 5:30. We will be electing messengers who will go and participate in the Guadalupe Baptist Association annual meeting that happens in October. And so if you're interested in being a part of that meeting and being a messenger, please come and have your name put in so that we can vote on you. I think we're allowed 8 messengers, I think maybe more, but we would love to see every one of you be able to go and participate. But we'll have 8 messengers to elect and then also to vote on issues that are brought up. I see that there's a memory verse for us to memorize. And last week I said y'all had a head start. Well, you hadn't. That was the first week. That's what a vacation would do for you. So I turned around and asked Laura because I didn't see the memory verse in the bulletin. And so there is one on the board, Proverbs 21, verse 3. Let's stand together as we quote this verse together. To do righteousness and justice is desired by the Lord more than sacrifice. Proverbs 21:3. The Lord wants us to come with a heart towards Him. Now, it's great if you want to give, if you want to serve in some special way, if you want to be active at some ministry, those things are expected of a believer. But He desires your heart, because even if you do give, even if you do serve in a particular way, He wants your heart in it. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning in the area of worship. But God's desire for us is that our hearts are aligned with His. This is what He calls us to. And it's a joy when we align our hearts with Him that we get to serve, we get to walk with Him and see His mighty power, His hand at work in our midst. That's the joy of being a believer. I pray you have that joy. And be seated. We're going to have a deacon come and pray. Ike Peterson will come and pray for us this morning. And then we'll begin our time in music. Brother Ike, thank you.
Before we pray, I would like to, not meaning to take advantage of having the pulpit for a few seconds, but I didn't want somebody I love immensely to be outdone because it's John's birthday. But our granddaughter, Ann and I's granddaughter, Cora, it's golden birthday today, 14 on the 14th. So I just would like for you to tap her on the back and tell her happy birthday, darling. We are blessed. Not just for that, but we are blessed. As I think of that and I think of family and I look out this, one of my favorite songs, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. We got a big family. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we praise Your holy name this morning and pray Your name will be high and lifted up and each of our hearts affected. Lord, if there be one here today who's never shared their life to Jesus Christ, let them come today. We will celebrate with them, with all the angels in heaven. Lord, as we talk about birthdays, I'd like to say thank you, Lord, for the miracle of birth. And together, we lift up to you, Sister Melissa Loggins, and the baby she carries, and ask your divine blessing on this child. Your watch care and blessing of health for mom. Thank you, dear God, for what we anxiously look forward to in our near future. Lord, we have guests today. We lift them to you and ask a special blessing on their behalf. We thank you, dear God, for dying in our place, the shedding of your blood, that we might have forgiveness of sin, and the hope we have in your glorious resurrection. We love you, Lord. We ask your anointing upon Brother Robert as he brings us the message you put upon his heart. To you be the glory and honor forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, please stand as we begin singing with Here I Am to Worship. says, "You are worthy to receive glory and honor and praise." Let's sing Worthy of Worship.
Father, we just thank you for this day, another day that we can be here and hear your word. I pray, Lord, that with the state of condition that the country is in, politicians, each and every one of us, citizens, with the disaster that has just happened, I pray that you be with us as Christians. I'm asking, Lord, that you be with us. Give us wisdom as questions are going to be asked. We need the answers to direct them to you, the cross. Heavenly Father, you are the answer. Give us strength and courage as we go out. Be with Brother Robert as he brings the message. Give him the strength to present it in a way that will stay with us the rest of the week and guide us as we go out on our own in our respective parts of this world. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.
You give life, you are love.
Majesty and glory. We proclaim your greatness, recognize your power in creation, and your love in our lives. May our hearts and voices declare your wonders, and may we live in a way that reflects your divine splendor. Help us to honor you in all we do, for you alone are worthy of our worship and praise. Amen.
Thank you, Houston and choir, and those at the instruments this morning, those of you singing, praising our God together as we are called to, and we'll see that in just a moment in Scripture. I'm grateful that this past week many of you attended our Bible conference with Brother Lance Hartsfield, and I hope that you were adequately fed through the week as I was. Being on vacation the 2 weeks before that, I'm pretty invigorated this morning. Someone asked me if today's sermon was going to be really long, and I don't know what you're talking about, but I do feel invigorated. I praise the Lord for his provision through those times. I can say that this past week, The news about Charlie Kirk impacted me. I did not know the man personally, but I did listen to many of his debates, and he was very sound of mind. He was spiritual. He was a godly man who loved the Lord. He preached the gospel. He evangelized. He was political because it's necessary on university campuses to be political, especially when questions were brought to him, what's he going to do? But to be political. And he was very articulate, and a voice has been lost. But yesterday I spent some time actually mourning. The shock of his death hit me, and then yesterday I wept. And I can remember a scripture passage that we memorized here that brought me comfort, and is that unless a seed would fall to the ground and die, it cannot bring forth fruit. And there are many reports of people, kids. One lady, I saw her give a testimony saying, I haven't opened a Bible in 10 years, but after Charlie Kirk's death, I finally opened the Bible and the Lord is speaking into my life. There's life. You can't kill truth. You might kill a person, but you can't kill the truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He lives on. Charlie Kirk is experiencing the glory he preached about. And while I mourn, and I do, voice is still there because the Lord Jesus Christ has overcome death. So I praise the Lord for that, and I wish I was preaching on that this morning. I'm not leaning that direction. Perhaps tonight, if you come back, there will be a little bit of that to look at. But we are going to be in Psalm 96 this morning. It is 13 verses long. But I'm going to break this down into four main points, and then we're going to look at one verse in particular that I want us to focus on this morning. But I feel like we need to get the whole 13 verses in order to set the groundwork. So please stand with me as we read through Psalm 96, verses 1 to 13. I am reading out of the New American Standard Version, and it begins this way. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples, idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. So ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. And he will judge the peoples with equity. So let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar all that it contains. Let the field exult, all that's in it. All the trees of the forest will sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Our Father, I thank you for reminding us to worship you. To come with praise and thanksgiving and remembrances in our heart that always point us back to you, the Creator, the God who's the Redeemer, the God who keeps his people. And Lord God, may this morning we experience a new wonder of looking into your holiness and worshiping you with genuine hearts of dependence and love and gratitude because of your great love, your mercy, and your grace.
for you are worthy of our worship. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. So I have a commentary. I have more than one commentary, but I have many commentaries in my office, and one of them provides an outline for this section of Scripture. And I have taken the outline as a springboard for us to kind of plant ourselves on before we dive into verse 9. I want to focus on verse 9 in a little bit. But in this past Scripture, in verses 1 through 3, we find what the author who wrote the commentary said is an invitation to worship. And it includes this phrase, sing to the Lord, more than once. Sing to the Lord at least 3 times in the first 3 verses. We do that every week. Some churches consider their singing time their worship. There's nothing wrong with worshiping God through song. We're called to do it. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament says that we are to worship Him in hymns and songs and spiritual songs, lifting up our voices before Him, and that is worship. But worship and song leads us to looking at the grand scheme of His spoken word. And I'm simply a recipient to pass on that spoken word to you. God has authored it. And so we ought to give ear and listen to Him. Yes, let's sing these songs. And let these songs be songs that are biblical and scriptural and remind us of the truths that we hold to and the things we ought to remember as we live and practice the faith in this world. I am marvelously amazed at the times when I hear people say, "Oh, not another new song." When Brother Houston brings a song, and listen, I'm like you. I love the old hymns. I want to stay in old hymns a lot. I don't want us to forget old hymns. A mighty fortress is our God. Holy, 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 amazing grace. These hymns of old are practical. They're instructional. They meet us where we need to be met. I grew up on the old hymns. I want to hear them again and again, but there is great value in new hymns, people. Our preferences have to be shoved to the side sometimes. The word here says, sing a new song. That's, to me, a command. We're not just to be stuck on the old stuff all the time. There are some new things that are coming out. The Gettys. If you've not listened to hymns that the Gettys, Kristen and Keith, are putting out today, you're missing a blessing. We've sang a couple of them in this congregation. They have such biblical, sweet, deep truth in them. We ought to be singing those kind of hymns. We ought to be singing kind of hymns that take us back to looking at the Father in all His glory and majesty and the marvelous redemption that He's brought to us. And hymns are supposed to do that for us. Listen, a hymn's not supposed to be saying, "Oh, I feel so good because you've done something for me. And my whole world's all this." It's not about you and me. Our worship's about Him. It's about looking to Him and singing to Him. So we're to sing hymns, songs, spiritual songs. Let them be biblical. Let them point us to the grand Redeemer. And sometimes let them be new. I'm going to tell you a little secret. In 1 Peter chapter 3, or chapter 1, there's a section of that scripture. Whereas Peter's beginning his letter, and some of you have been on Wednesday night, we visited this. I'm just going to be brief here. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance." Listen to this. "An inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Those of you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Did you hear that about this inheritance? It's imperishable. It's undefiled. It will not fade away. It's reserved for you. It's imperishable. It doesn't have an expiration date. Salvation and our inheritance in heaven is never going to get old. In fact, our inheritance in heaven doesn't fade away. It doesn't get old. You know what? Every day in eternity is going to be just like the first day in eternity. It's never going to fade. It's going to be fresh every day. Some of you are thinking, I don't know if I want to go to heaven. It's going to be kind of boring. You're just going to be on harps and you're going to be sitting on a cloud and it's just going to be. No, it's not. It's going to be new every day. As the Old Testament, Jeremiah says, every day, your mercy's new. Well, if mercy's new here, what's redemption going to be like in glory? New every day. We ought to be practicing singing new songs here because we can be singing a new song every day for eternity when we get to glory. New songs every day. Thing is, you're going to know them. It's kind of nice in an old song, isn't it? Oh, I got the timing down. I got the tune down. I can sing it with confidence. A new song, you're like, I don't know. But in glory, we're going to know it because we're going to know like we're known. We're going to be a little wiser when we get to glory. So now we ought to be singing to the Lord, a new song even. Singing to bless His name. Remember, bless Him, not myself. I'm blessing Him. And in it, proclaiming the good tidings of His salvation. And from day to day, let me tell you, our singing the new song to the Lord is not just about on Sunday. If you ain't singing the Lord in your shower, or in your car while you're driving, or when you're out on your walk, shame on you. We need to be singing the Lord every day. That command that Paul gives us in that letter to say, sing these hymns and songs and spiritual songs, is supposed to be a melody in your heart all the time. We're supposed to be singing a melody in our heart all the time to the Lord. And listen, I'm a songwriter. I make up songs all the time. They're new songs. Just whatever's on my heart, I'm singing. Praise the Lord, man. The Lord's good. Look what the Lord's done today. This is an invitation for us to be worshiping Him, not just on Sunday, but every single of our life. Celebrating the salvation He's brought to your life. Listen, you never know when your last moment to breathe is going to happen. Charlie Kirk didn't know. He was in the midst of serving the Lord on a platform with a microphone in his hand when his life ended. I want to follow that kind of lead. I want to be faithful to my last breath. And if it happens to be while I'm singing a praise to the Lord while it happens, hallelujah. That He's glorified in that. Sing to the Lord. Proclaim these good tidings. Tell of His glory among the nations. Don't be afraid to tell about Him in other places. I am sure, Brother Bobby Jack, that I have shocked some of you guys when I start singing on the golf course. But we shouldn't be ashamed. We shouldn't be ashamed of the Lord. No matter what group we're in, we should be lifting up His name among the nations. That means among the Gentiles, among the unbelievers. His wonderful deeds among the peoples. It's an invitation to worship. It's an invitation to be at worship all the time. He is worthy of our worship at all times. Verses 4 to 6, the inspiration for worship is found here. Because great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Why should we sing to Him? Because He's great. He's greatly to be praised. In fact, I have a little phrase here. The Hebrew word great means exceeding and more. So when you put it in that context in this song, God is exceedingly more great. May not be great English, but it is perfect. God's exceedingly more great. Why shouldn't we sing to Him and worship Him? I guarantee you He's better than any of the celebrities at Hollywood. He's even better than the best Bible teacher you may know. He's better than any government official. He's better than your sweet grandma. He is great. And He is worthy to be praised. Motivation to worship God because He's God. He is to be feared above all gods. This reverential awe, this yieldedness to Him, this desire and willingness for me to submit myself to this God and permit Him to have rule over me. I do that with joy. We ought to have joy in fearing Him. The call in Scripture over and over. You look up the word fear in your concordance. I have a Strong's Exhaustive in my office. It's a book about that thick. And the pages of the word fear are amazing. Scripture, constantly there's a call to fear God. There's a call to look at him with the right kind of eyes and see him for who he is. When Jonathan Edwards preached sinners in the hands of an angry God, he was not trying to make God out to be a mean ogre. He was trying to bring people to the realization that God has this right to rule over our souls. And when the day of judgment comes and we have to stand before him, if you are not covered in the blood of Christ, you ought to be afraid. If you have been covered in the blood of Christ, you should be gratefully fearful that he brought you to the place you would say, yes, I need to trust the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I see now how it needed to be saved. Thank you for what you did. Thank you that it cost the life of your son. Thank you that you paid such a price. He's worthy to be feared above all other gods. All other gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols. We have idols today. It may not be a little wooden statue or a ceramic statue or an iron statue. We have idols. And be careful that we do not put them before us and make them our gods. Because it can happen. A relationship can become an idol. Can become your god. Listen, some human being on this earth that means everything to you. If they mean more to you than Jesus, that's your idol. It's your god. Every one of us, I don't have it on me right now, but I carried my phone to church this morning so I'd know what time I was in our Bible study. That can become your idol. Any electronic device that you are stuck to for long-term time and you give full allegiance to that and all your attention and your concern, that can become your idol. Be careful. You know what it is about idols that makes them worthless? No matter what it is. They had to be created. This passage of Scripture says, all the others are idols, but the Lord made the earth. God's creator. He's the one we should worship. Our inspiration and motivation for worshiping is because he's created all of this. He made us. If we're not worshiping him, then we're saying, I just don't care that you created me. It's a spit and a slap in the face of God. He created us. He made us special. He made us eternal. He planted a spirit inside of us so that that spirit might be enlivened by his life. And then he sent his son to come and make that spirit alive. He's worthy to be worshiped. He has done more than we could ask or imagine. And the splendor and majesty are ever before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Why should we worship him? Because he's the only one that holds splendor and majesty and beauty and holiness that is of worth. I'm pretty sure you've seen some very beautiful places in the world. Maybe some beautiful people. But none of them can exceed the beauty of the Lord God. And while no man has seen him with your eyes and lived, we see him with the spirit he's given us. And one day we'll see him as he is and he'll see us. And that will be our reward, the inheritance that's imperishable and it doesn't fade away, right? We have this prospect before us as we trust him. So we find ourselves in Christ. In the meantime, we're to worship him and focus upon him and allow him to have our full devotion and allegiance. And why? Verses 7 through 10, we have instruction for worship. Notice here this word ascribe. That's not a word we use in regular English very much. It means to attribute or assign. We could even use the phrase to give credit to. And with that kind of understanding, we give credit to the Lord for his true glory and strength. We give credit to the Lord as the families of the peoples of the earth. We look to the one who's the creator. And we acknowledge and recognize that he is rightfully the possessor of all glory and strength that matters. We ascribe to him. We give him credit for the glory of his name. The Lord God's name is a great name. When Jesus came, the scripture says that he gave him the name that's above all other names. He is to receive all the glory, all the credit, all the worship. And the instructions are that we bring an offering. Look at, ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Our offerings may look a little different. Sometimes we put money in the plate. Sometimes we serve him in a certain way. We're to be cheerful givers, not really compelled to give. We're supposed to bring what our hearts desire to bring. It's called a will offering. But we're to bring an offering, a sacrifice. What's an appropriate sacrifice? Yourself. He doesn't really want your stuff. I wrote this as a side note just this morning. He doesn't want your stuff as much as he wants you. And if he has you, he has your stuff. If he has you, you'll be free with your stuff. And when I say stuff, that includes a lot. Your money, your pocketbook, your person, your energy, your mind, your giftedness, your strength, the resources that have been poured into your life in the way of your possessions. If the Lord really has you, he has all that stuff. And it's his. And we're simply stewards. When the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 12 and he said, present your body a living sacrifice to the Father. He's saying, bring it. He said a living sacrifice too. We are called to perhaps die for Christ. Maybe. But for sure we're to live for Christ. Our very lives are to be a living, ongoing sacrifice that's offered to him. As we have opportunity to speak or to serve or to sit and be a comfort to someone or to be one who instructs, maybe even one who corrects or rebukes, it's a sacrifice. And in the way of our worship of him, we are to bring an offering. Listen, sometimes we sit in this place, we get through hearing the message and all the stuff, and then we walk out of here. I pray the message is sticking. That you're continuing to think about what the Lord said to you in these moments. And I know what it is to sit in the pew and to hear the word. And it might be one thing out of 4 or 5 points. And that's one thing I'm focused on when I leave this. And that's what the Lord wants me to be eating on. And as that's happening, he's stirring my spirit so that I'm being obedient to what that word is instructing me to do. And I find myself walking in obedience to him. That's the offering I'm giving to him. As I'm serving, and then as I'm going through my day. So just as I said a moment ago, your singing should not only be in here. It should be out there. Outside these walls. Listen, your ministry is so limited in here, most of us know the Lord. Your ministry in here is just discipleship and fellowship. The real ministry out there is evangelism. Ministry. It's reaching out and being available. That's where sacrifice sometimes takes place. You're taking a giant risk when you minister to someone who doesn't know the Lord. But isn't that what Jesus did when he came out of glory? For us? We're called to bring an offering. Part of the instruction of our worship of him is to come and bring an offering. I love this. This passage says, it says, worship the Lord by bringing an offering. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him. There's that fear again. Humble yourself before him. Acknowledge him as the rightful Lord. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. That should be our message. We should never be ashamed of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said, confess me before men and I'll confess you before the Father. But if you do not confess me before men, I'll not confess you before the Father. There is something to our not being ashamed. Paul said, do not be ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the very power of God for the salvation of those who would believe what I say. And it's going to be foolishness to some. He wrote in another letter and said this gospel's foolishness to those who are perishing. They don't realize how important it is, but to those who are being made alive, it's the power of God. And you and I are not to choose, okay, who gets to hear it and who doesn't. We're just simply supposed to be proclaiming it. And the Spirit of God does the work. You know that part of our worship is proclaiming the Word of God. It's a delight to do that. And you may say, well, I'm a preacher, I don't know what you know. I'm not in the Bible every week or I have commentaries lying in my walls. No, but you have an experience with the Lord. He saved you. You know exactly what to say because He's done a work inside your heart. Don't be ashamed. Don't be fearful. Jesus said, in that hour, you don't know what to say. That's when the Holy Spirit's going to kick in. Trust the Lord. He gives you the words to say. He gives this preacher the words to say sometimes. A few of the things I've already said this morning, I didn't in my notes. The Lord's powerful in that way. And in your personal witness, it's going to happen that way. Trust Him. And you'll see Him do mighty, wonderful things here. I'm going to come back to that verse 9. But the next point and the last point that's in the outline is the impact of the gospel. Look at verse 11, or 10 through 13 rather. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. The thing about that verse right there, we could spend a lot of time on it. As long as the sun comes out and we go around the sun and the moon comes out and the cycle of the seasons happens, we can know the Lord's eternal. He's put that system in place and it's not going to fail. For those of you who are worried that we're ruining the planet, we're going to blow things up or we're going to gas each other by driving cars, let me tell you something. The Lord's in charge and control of that. You're okay. Now, the air may get nasty, but God's in control of this planet. He's got it in place. He's got it set on nothing. That's how powerful He is. And He's going to take care of it. He says here, the world is firmly established and won't be moved. And He's going to come and judge peoples with equity. And that word, He's going to come and judge in a proper fullness. He's going to do it right. We can't judge perfect because we're human. We're tainted with sin. Our judgments are going to be biased. Presuppositions will jump in. He's going to come with perfect righteous perfection, and He's going to judge appropriately. We can trust that. And going on, verse 11, let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice, the sea roar, everything that's in it, the field, the trees, worship it for joy before the Lord because He's coming to judge. The impact of worship, your worship, is that it impacts others. Listen, if you're worshiping the Lord, not just in church, but when you leave here and you're praising Him, you're singing praises to Him, you're serving Him, you're offering yourself up as a living sacrifice, you're going to impact the world. Your worship should impact more than you. It should impact you, but it should be impacting you for the purpose of impacting others. You know, if that was not the case, the Lord, when He saved us, would have just brought us up to glory. But He's left us here because we have a mission. Jesus said, I'm leaving you guys to do some tough work, but I've equipped you with everything. Holy Spirit's there. The Word's going to come and be established. You got it. And He took off. Well, He's still working. He's just doing it through the Holy Spirit He sent. And He has not quit. We ought to know that the impact of worship is for the purpose of reaching out from beyond ourselves. When Jesus said, I want you guys to minister first at Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then the uttermost parts of the earth. He was saying, start here and then move out. Go. And when you and I leave this place, we're leaving Jerusalem. And we're going out into Judea. And if you happen to work in another area, you're going to a Samaria. And sometimes you might go across the ocean, you're going to the uttermost parts. Listen, when you leave this place, you're already being set in motion that the worship you experience has an impact on someone else's life. Wouldn't that be awesome? We leave here, that happens. Verse 9, I'm going back to that. Oh yeah, we've got time. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Let me tell you what that doesn't really mean. Before I was 19, I remember people going to church and coming out of church, and all the men had on suits and coats and ties, and the women had on fancy dresses. Some of them had hats. They always had high heels. They were all fancied up. And before my friends could play with me, they had to go in and change out of their church clothes to get into their clothes they could play in. Now, some of you are looking at me like, what are you talking about? And you know why that is? Because now we could probably go straight from church to the water park. The pendulum has swung so far over that we're not mindful of coming into the Lord's presence in a particular way. Now, I wear a suit because I was brought up by a preacher, and I have this conviction. If I'm going to preach the Word of God on Sunday mornings especially, I need to be appropriate dressed. If the priests were wearing vestments when they preach to the people and minister to the people, I feel like that's my responsibility. But there is something to say. If a dignitary were to come to Edna, Texas, and you were to go to a function, you would probably dress up a little bit. How far of a stretch is it if you come in to see Jesus that you don't dress up a little bit? Is he worth that? So we could go there with this come in holy attire stuff, okay? I think it's going deeper than that. One of the passages of Scripture that speak to this verse, they bring it from the perspective of in the beauty of the splendor of his holiness. We should come with a mindset focused upon the fact that he is holy. We began this morning with songs about worship and holiness. We are to worship him. And the Hebrew text literally or transliterally says, worship Jehovah in the beauty of holiness. That is the text itself in the Hebrew. I can never be perfectly holy in this world. But I can set myself in a certain posture to come before him with respect and attention and to appropriately bring myself before him. There's a posture that you and I should bring before the Lord. When Moses stood before the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, the Lord said, don't come any closer. The place where you're standing, holy ground, take your sandals off. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The ground itself was not inherently holy. But the nearness of God made it holy. And Moses was to respond a certain way. Take off those dirty sandals. Stand before me naked. We are to come before the Lord genuine, transparent, lacking a facade. Oh, I'm okay. Oh, I'm holy. We are to come to him honest. Father, I'm broken. This week I've experienced a trial. This week, my spouse said something that broke my heart. This week, somebody at my job lost a loved one and it impacted me. Listen, when we come into this place, you don't just check your brain at the door. The Lord doesn't expect it. But he wants you to come with a need to be in his presence. And to acknowledge and recognize you're in the presence of the Holy One, who is bigger than any problem, bigger than any hurt, bigger than any sin that you've committed. He's a God who cares. He's the creator of your very soul. And he has the only way of cleansing us. And he's shown him by sending his son Jesus, the sinless one, but died in our sin. So that we were sinners, filthy, separated from him, ignorant of our condition, might be made righteous by his righteousness. When we come and worship God. It's not this building that makes this place holy. It is the presence of God in His people. He is holy. And maybe you want to gussy up a little bit sometime. But what's important, you're ready. You kick off your sandals, as it were. Come in presence of the Lord. Be real with Him. He knows your heart. You're not fooling Him. And let Him minister to you and fill you with His goodness, so that when we leave here, all those things we talked about that we ought to be about when we leave here to affect the world will come to fruition to His glory. Because He's great. He greatly to be praised. And we're simply called to experience that joy. Now listen, some in this place, you've trusted Christ as Savior and Lord. You have experienced the blessing of belonging to the Lord and serving Him. Maybe even some of you are saying, wow, never really got down to the nuts and bolts of my worship time impacting my life. If you have been impacted by that, let God do business with you. Listen, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, I pray, I plead with you now. The Lord God gives you this message in this moment for a reason. It's either to plant a seed, it's to water the seed, or it's to bring a harvest. It's in His hands. This preacher is not going to try and manipulate you. I am simply going to tell you the day of salvation is today. Just like Charlie Kirk, he left his home and he went to a place and he was gone. None of us knows when our moment will be. Are you ready to meet the God who made the heavens and the earth and is the Redeemer? He's not just an idol. He is real. He's great and greatly to be praised. I pray you would know Him. And He sent His Son Jesus so we could know Him. Trust Jesus and you'll know the Father. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the privilege to be back in this place, to be before Your sheep. Lord God, to have such an honor to be able to speak Your word. I pray, Father, that You would not allow Your word to return to You empty, but accomplish all that it set out to do. And Father God, we give You glory and honor today. We pray You move in our midst. If any need to come for salvation, if any need to come for prayer, we pray, Father, that You would give them freedom in their hearts to do that today. Be glorified through our response now. We pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's stand together as we have opportunity to respond. Music team will lead us. I'll be here to pray if you need that. The altar's open.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let Him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you. See you.
bless you. I'll be preaching tonight. I'm going to be kind of all over the place in the scripture. I'm going to pray about the fall of the devil, but don't let that scare you away. Jesus wins. So, Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today. Be glorified as we depart this place, become your scattered church. And Lord God, bring us back together to rejoice and worship you. In the name of our Christ, we pray. Amen. Lord bless. I'll see you outside.
All right, just a reminder, children's choir will meet tonight at 5:30. So if you have a child, grades 1 through 5, please bring them. They have a great time over there. And before long, we're going to have them up here leading us on one of the songs. Let's end tonight today with I Worship You, Almighty God.
I worship you.